Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for this beautiful Lord's Day. Thank you, Lord, for watching over us and seeing us through another week. We pray now that you would fill our hearts to overflowing with your love and care. Draw us closer to you and closer to each other, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you stand as we sing together, I Am Thine, O Lord? One, okay. I had the wrong song. I was looking at the prelude. Okay. Here we go. To God be the glory. Let's sing it. To God be the glory. Great things he hath done. So loved he the world that he gave us his son. And open the life gate that all may go in. Praise the Lord. Sunday, 2017. Creator God, directing your ongoing work of creation and recreation, on this day devoted to the dignity of useful work and committed workers, we remember the multitude of women and men who work in the home. And perform miracles. We lift up political leaders and aspiring political leaders who follow their conscience rather than popularity and financial gain. Thank you for the office and factory workers who, through skills or opportunities may be limited, perform needed chores faithfully. We praise you for small business owners who run shops where workers and customers are treated as persons, and for corporate executives who focus on people and personhood. We give thanks, Father, for members of helping professions, for doctors, nurses, lawyers, ministers, teachers, social workers, and others who have a dedication for helping those in need.
And for scientists who search the deep truths of your creation.
Righteous God, we pray for all who are employed beneath their capabilities or for less pay than they deserve. May they be empowered in their quest for equal opportunity and just compensation. Open our minds and hearts, O God, that we may find our workplace opportunities for works of mercy, love, and compassion.
Teach us the lost art of grace, that we may glorify you with our lives, through our labor and our leisure. In Jesus' name, amen.
Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, it is now and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. It's good to see so many here on the holiday weekend. I wasn't sure what to anticipate. We've even got visitors from South Carolina. Oh, what's her name? Terry, yeah. We're glad to have Terry back with us today. I understand that she's not staying. Okay, I already asked her if she knew what she was going to do with the choir Wednesday night, and she gave me a funny look. But anyway, it's good to have you with us, Terry. Welcome back. Do come back anytime. Love to have you. And Mom's going back with you, is she? Or? Yep. Okay. Very good. But we're glad to have each one of you here today. You'll notice in the bulletin, among the several inserts, there's a church calendar there, which is indicative of the fact that Wanda is back on the job. And we are so thankful for that. And she's got the birthdays listed there. I noticed that particularly because today, our daughter Rebecca that's in the Air Force, today is her birthday. And if my mother were still alive, today is her birthday also. She'd be 104 today. But she passed away 12 years ago, but we do miss her, but we are mindful of all of you, those of you that are celebrating birthdays and anniversaries and other occasions, and congratulations to you. I'm glad to see that back in the bulletin now that we can share together with that. Are there any joys and concerns you'd like to share as we go to prayer? I don't need to remind you to be praying for the folks in Texas, Louisiana. You've seen all of the news items. There's not a whole lot more we can say. If you've got any ways that you can share with them, please do. There's an insert in your bulletin about the cleaning buckets where the Methodist Church, the Holston Conference, is sending down there. If you'd like to make a donation toward that, just put it in the offering and mark it Texas or Harvey. We'll see that it gets to the right people and gets down there to help them. I have been impressed with all the people that have been going down there to help, with all the aid that has been sent to them. What a difficult time it is. Any other joys and concerns? As the music plays, allow God to prepare your heart for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, this morning, we give you thanks and praise for all of your blessings to us, for your watch care over us. We thank you, Lord, that in the midst of the sunshine and the rain, your love and grace are there just the same for us. We are mindful today that many of our brothers and sisters in the Houston area and through Texas and Louisiana are going through a very difficult time. 44 have died in the storm so far. Many families have lost everything they have. Things that they've worked a lifetime to gather together are now gone. Many of them do not have insurance or do not have adequate insurance. We just pray that in this very difficult time, you would comfort and strengthen their hearts. We pray, O Lord, that they might feel your presence. We pray that your children everywhere might feel a need to take part in helping in this rebuilding, whether it's through donations, whether it's through volunteer time, however it may be, even just lifting these people up in prayer, Lord. The victims, the volunteers, surrounding them with prayer and bringing them before the throne day by day. We pray today that you'd be with all of those who are going through health issues, facing surgeries and procedures, facing our own mortality, realizing that as surely as we see springtime when new life springs forth and summertime when it blossoms and then the fall of the year when things seem to start slowing down and then wintertime when it seems like life is gone, remind us, Lord, that in these lives of ours there are seasons also. There is a springtime, there's a summertime, and many of us are in the fall of life. And then there's winter. But winter is not the end. Winter is merely a time of transition into spring when new life comes forth. Remind us that you have eternal life for each one of us. We pray today that you'd be with all of our leaders. Oh, Lord, be with them through this chaos. We pray that you would draw our country together. Remind us that we are one nation under God. We pray that you'd be with our troops, Lord. Watch over them and keep them safe. Be with their families. Use us to your honor and glory, and we will give you all the praise, for we ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. The name of Jesus, the one who taught us to pray together, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Would the ushers please come? Heavenly Father, we give you thanks and praise for all of your many wonderful gifts to us. We pray now that you would bless these, our gifts to you. Bless the giver. Bless the one who's unable to give. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you. Remain standing, if you would, please, for the reading of the gospel. Reading from Matthew chapter 6, beginning at verse 25. So I tell you, don't worry about everyday life. Whether you have enough food or drink or clothes, doesn't life consist of more than food and clothing? Look at the birds. They don't need to plant or harvest or put food in barns because your heavenly Father feeds them. And you are more valuable to him than they are. Can all your worries add a single moment to your life? Of course not. And why worry about your clothes? Look at the lilies and how they grow. They don't work or make their clothing, yet Solomon in all of his glory was not dressed as beautifully as they are. And if God cares so wonderfully for flowers that are here today and gone tomorrow, won't he more surely care for you? You have so little faith. And don't worry about having enough food or drink or clothing. Why be like the pagans who are so deeply concerned about these things? Your heavenly Father already knows all your needs, and he will give you all your need from day to day if you live for him and make the kingdom of God your primary concern. So don't worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will bring its own worries. Today's trouble is enough for today. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. A number of years ago, I had the opportunity to work day shift in the steel mills up in Cleveland, Ohio. And then from 3:30 to 11:30 at night, I worked at Zehr Discount Store during the Christmas season. It was interesting because here in this most joyous season of the year, supposedly, I would hear the announcement come over the intercom saying, attention, Zehr shoppers, we are now having a special in the toy department, and they would tell what it was, and all of a sudden it'd be a stampede. I would see people going down the aisle, and they'd take children and push them aside so they could get through with their carts. I'd see them take other people's shopping carts and push it down the aisle, and it would tip over, and everything would spill out, and they had to get the toy department first. You've seen it, and there are so many stories we could tell. Anybody here ever gone shopping on Christmas Eve? One of us has. Two, three, four. So we've got seven or eight Christmas Eve shoppers and a bunch of people that don't always tell the truth. Okay? Yeah, I think most of us have been there. And then after we were out Christmas Eve shopping and all that mess and we get thrown out of every store in town, we go home and we spend the rest of the night trying to put the stuff together for the kids. How many of y'all have pulled an all-nighter on Christmas Eve? Yeah. Okay, you know what I'm talking about. With that mindset, it's kind of hard to get into the spirit of things, isn't it? This morning, I'm going to jump the gun a little bit, and I'm doing it intentionally. We had Marley with us last night. I'm using that as my excuse for not quite being together this morning. But I don't want us to rush into the seasons that are coming up without preparation, because you see, as children of God, we should be an Easter and a Thanksgiving and a Christmas people every day of the year. And here we are, we're already in the month of September. In a few moments, we're going to be rushing up here at the Lord's table and then going out for whatever we've got planned for the holiday weekend. We're just about 3 weeks away from the first day of fall. And then shortly after that, we hit World Communion Sunday, the first Sunday in October, followed by the month of November and Thanksgiving. And of course, right after Thanksgiving is Christmas. What do you think would happen if God's people took time to plan and prepare, to prepare our hearts to come to the Lord's table, to prepare our hearts to celebrate Thanksgiving, not just on November 23rd this year, but every single day of the year. We've got so much to be thankful for. It's amazing how many people I've heard complaining about the rain that we've had here in East Tennessee. Aren't you glad you don't live in Houston, Texas right now? They had more rain in 1 week than we get in a whole year in East Tennessee. They said some of those people won't be back in their homes for a month. Some of those people won't be back in their homes before Christmas. Some of those people won't ever be able to go back in their homes. You've heard me say before that in this room here, every one of us are in the top 5% of the richest people in the world. And yet so often we tend to focus on what we don't have or what we wish we had or what the people next door have that we don't. A teacher in Cleveland, Tennessee, her name was Lisa. She was working with one of her first grade students who was attempting to read out loud to the class. Little girl was having trouble sounding out one of the words, and she couldn't quite figure it out. The teacher tried to give her time and space so she could figure it out for herself. Finally, the teacher decided to help her. The teacher said, "Thank." Little girl didn't do anything. Teacher said, "Thank." Finally, a little girl said, "I am thanking and I still can't get the word." So often, we get tripped up on giving thanks. Being a grateful people, we moan and groan and gripe and complain. Oh, that we could catch a glimpse of what some of the people in this world of ours is going through. Back in 1955, Bob Hope was asked to star in a movie entitled The Seven Little Foys. It was based on the life of vaudeville star Eddie Foy. When his wife died unexpectedly, Eddie then took his seven children on the road with him and incorporated them into his act. Now, the kids weren't real good actors, but the people came out anyway just to see those cute little kids up there with Eddie Foy. Bob Hope had really hoped that James Cagney would play the role in the movie, but Cagney had just won an Oscar for his role in Yankee Doodle Dandy, and he was a big star now, and Bob figured, well, he'll never consent to work in a movie that may not even make any money and won't be able to pay very much. However, when Jimmy Cagney was asked to play the lead role in that movie, he gladly accepted the role and said he would do it free. They wouldn't have to pay him anything for it. You see, when Jimmy Cagney first started on Broadway, Eddie Foy would take him home on a regular basis for a hot meal. Jimmy Cagney says those hot meals are what kept him going. And he wanted to do this movie to say thank you to the one who had helped him. You know, a lot of times just saying thank you in itself isn't really enough. We need to find more ways to express to the world how grateful we are. We were discussing this past weekend what we were going to do for Thanksgiving. Our son likes to cook out, which is okay when you've got 5 or 6 people. But if you've got 12 or 15 or 20, and if you're the one that's going to have to buy the groceries for that crew and it's going to cost you as much as going out, somehow it's not quite the same. I don't know about you, but I just soon go to a nice buffet restaurant where you walk in, you fill your plate, you sit down and you have fellowship with everybody. When you're done, you get up and walk away. And I know Catherine feels that way because with her, She'd have to spend 3 or 4 or 5 or 6 hours preparing, and then everybody would gobble it down, and then she'd have to spend 4 or 5 or 6 hours cleaning up. Now, I'd volunteer to help her, but somehow she doesn't see that as a lot of help. So, anyway, there was a grandmother that was going to be having all the grandkids in for Thanksgiving dinner. She made a lengthy speech about how thankful she was for all of her extra special blessings, those dear, sweet grandchildren that were there. The moment she stopped speaking and finished the prayer, pandemonium broke loose. Grandchildren were yelling and grabbing for everything on the table. Grandma sat there with her eyes closed. One of the children said, "Mom, are you okay?" She said, "Yes, I'm just praying for patience to endure all these blessings." Newsweek magazine, back in 1994, there was an article in there. After the American troops were sent on a humanitarian mission to help in Haiti, you know, after the earthquake down there. And one of the officers said that the hardest part of the mission was that everybody in Haiti wanted to hug them. Contrast that with our soldiers that came back from Vietnam. There weren't too many people wanting to hug them, wanting to say thank you for the sacrifice you made and thank you for all that you endured and thank you for all the suffering you're yet to go through for having been over there. So often we forget to be grateful. Now, being grateful doesn't mean, as we prepare for these holidays coming up, being grateful doesn't mean that everything is perfect. Jean Schnell works for a crisis hotline. She's quick thinking, has a calm voice, and possesses a hefty dose of common sense. You see, Jean Schnell is the director for Butterball Turkey's Turkey Talk Line. For over 17 years, she's been answering the phone for people who have left the giblets in the turkey. They forgot to defrost the turkey. They accidentally put the turkey in the oven and then put the oven on the lock clean cycle. Throughout November and December, she and her team of 48 nutritionists and home economists answer every conceivable question about how to cook a holiday turkey to perfection. One of her callers was from Florida. The lady explained that they had just been through a hurricane. As she was talking, her husband was up on the roof trying to cover everything with blue tarps. The children were out in the yard picking up all the storm debris. She was in what was left of their kitchen, getting ready to prepare a Thanksgiving meal. Jean was kind of surprised that they were still trying to cook a Thanksgiving meal after all they'd been through. The woman replied that they would celebrate Thanksgiving because they had so much for which to be thankful. If we could be a thankful people of God, our churches would be different. I had a friend up in Ohio. I might have told you this. They went into a church building program. And the church decided that they could save a lot of money if they subcontracted all the different things out. He said the building program went great. Their new sanctuary was beautiful. Everything went fine until it came time to put in the altar rail. There were people that wanted it 16 inches wide. There were people that wanted it 6 inches wide. Some people thought it should be this high. Some thought it should be that high. He said the church almost split over this piece of church furniture. Now imagine if those people could have had an attitude of gratitude about what God had enabled them to do. Imagine the difference that could be made. So often, we lose sight of God's goodness and God's blessing and God's love and God's grace in our lives. The psalmist said, even when I walked through the valley of the shadow of death, as we mature, we learn that even when life is the most difficult, that's when God is the closest. You remember when Jesus was hanging on the cross, he quoted scripture from the Psalms and said, my God, why have you forsaken me? The truth of the matter is, God the Father was never closer to God the Son than when he was hanging there on the cross. The truth is, in our lives, when we're going through difficult times, God is going to be right there with us. It was my privilege to grow up in New England. Now, I would rather have been born in the South, but my mother was up there, so I figured I better stay close to her. Okay? I've been to Plymouth Rock before. In elementary school, we always had pageants around Thanksgiving time, and I got to play. One year I was Captain Miles Standish, another year I was John Alden, another year I got to be one of the Indians. But they always did Thanksgiving up in a big way. Fall is my favorite season of the year. Even as a teenager in Florida, I missed the fall season. There ain't no such thing down there. It's summertime and you mow the lawn every week. When you only have to mow it every other week, you know it's wintertime. No, I love the fall season, and Thanksgiving is one of my favorite holidays. William Law, back in the 1600s, he wrote a book shortly toward the end of the 1600s or into the 1700s. It was entitled A Serious Call to a Devout and Holy Life. I have that book in my library. He says in that book, would you know who's the greatest saint in the world? It's not the one who prays the most or fasts the most. It's not the one who gives the most or who is well known for their temperance, purity, or justice. It is the one who is always thankful to God. It is the one who wants only what God wants and who sees all of life as an example of the goodness of God and is always ready to praise God for it. The pilgrims had a custom. They would put 5 kernels of corn on each empty plate before their Thanksgiving meal. In many of your old Plymouth families, that custom is still followed even today. It's done on Thanksgiving Day or maybe on December 21st, the anniversary of the Plymouth landing. The 5 kernels of corn are there to remind them that before the first harvest there here in the New World, life was so hard that each person's daily ration of food was 5 kernels of corn. It's amazing how often in life a low moment becomes a grow moment. We thought it'd be the worst thing that could happen to us. We thought we would die, but we didn't. We hung in there. We fought the good fight, and today we look back and see that it was a turning point in our life, a turning point that made us who and what we are today. It doesn't always happen, of course, but it's more apt to happen along the way if we hold on to faith in God. Jesus said, look at the birds. They don't plant or harvest or put food in barns because their heavenly Father feeds them. Let me share a story with you. It's kind of a long one here, but I think it bears repeating. How often do you say thank you? Oh, a lot of times we do just out of custom, on a spur of the moment. But let me share a story with you about William Steiger. This was back in the early 30s. He was a minister, and he was meeting in a restaurant one day with several friends, and everyone was talking about the Depression, suffering, rich people committing suicide, people without jobs. The conversation got more and more bleak. William said, "I don't know what I'm going to do because I have to preach a Thanksgiving sermon. How can I say something positive in times like this?" He said, the Holy Spirit spoke to him. And the Holy Spirit said, "Why don't you start thanking people for what they've done for you?" As he thought about it, he remembered a school teacher who had been so very dear to him in years gone by. She had taught poetry and English literature. She went out of her way to give him a great love of literature and verse. It affected all of his writings and his preaching. Finally, he sat down and he wrote a letter to her. A few days later, he received a reply to his letter, and it was written in the feeble scrawl of an elderly person. She said, "My dear Willie," he said that was the first time in over 50 years anybody had called him Willie. Now he was old and bald. Here's how the letter went. "My dear Willie, I can't tell you how much your note meant to me. I'm in my 80s now, living alone in a small room, cooking my own meals, lonely, and like the last leaf of autumn lingering behind. I taught school for more than 50 years, and yours is the first note of appreciation I have ever received. It came on a cold morning, and it cheered me as nothing has in years." Steiger said, "I'm not a sentimental person, but I wept over that note." Then he thought of a bishop who was now retired, whose wife had recently passed away. The bishop had given him advice, counsel, and direction when he was pastoring his first church. So Will sat down and wrote the old bishop. A few days later, he received a reply. They didn't have email then, you know, so it took a little bit longer. He received a reply. "My dear Will, your letter was so beautiful. As I sat reading it in my study, tears of gratitude fell from my eyes. Before I realized what I was doing, I rose from my chair and called my wife's name to share it with her, forgetting she was gone. You'll never know how much your letter has warmed my spirit. I have been walking around in its glow all day long." Think what a difference. Phone call, email, text message, card, letter could make. As we start thinking about the holidays that are ahead, about the brand new year that isn't that far away now, imagine how we could brighten someone's day. You've heard it before. It's been online for quite a while. In closing, let me share it with you. Someone said, "I am thankful for the mess to clean up after a party because it means I've been surrounded by friends. Thankful for the taxes I pay because it means I'm employed. Thankful for the clothes that fit a little too snug because it means I have more than enough to eat. Thankful for my shadow who watches me work because it means that I'm able to be out in the sunshine. After all this rain," here's another one, "I'm thankful for a lawn that needs mowing and windows that need cleaning and gutters that need fixing because it means I have a home. Thankful for the parking place I find at the far end of the lot because it means I'm capable of walking. Thankful for all of the complaining I hear about our government because it means we have freedom of speech. Thankful for my heating bill because it means I'm warm. Thankful for the person behind me in church who sings off key because it means that I can hear. Thankful for the alarm that goes off early in the morning hours because it means that I'm alive. Thankful for the piles of laundry and ironing because it means that I have clothes to wear and that my loved ones are nearby. Thankful for weariness and aching muscles at the end of the day because it means that I've been productive. We're called to be grateful people. If we're griping, we're not grateful. If we're groaning, we're not grateful. Folks, we sing praise God from whom all blessings flow. We just sang to God be the glory, great things he has done. And then the slightest little thing sets us off. Allow God to give you an attitude of gratitude that's good not only in November, the fourth Thursday, but every day of the year. Every day for God's children ought to be a day of thanksgiving. Allow God to show you the ways to show your gratitude to God and others. Every day. And watch the difference that it makes. Heavenly Father, help us that we might be a grateful people. Help us as your children that we might give thanks and praise for all of your blessings. Not only praising you for them, but sharing them with others. Help us, Lord, that the joy of the Lord might be our strength. Remind us, Lord, that our prayer life can't be what it should be until our praise life is what it should be. For all of your goodness and grace, may we indeed give you the praise. We ask it in Jesus' wonderful name. And all God's people said, Amen. The prayer of confession and pardon is in your worship folder. I invite you to join with me now. It's also, we've got the invitation up here. Christ our Lord invites to his table all who love him, who earnestly repent of their sin and seek to live in peace with one another. Therefore, we come to the prayer of confession and pardon. Let us confess our sins to God and one another. Merciful God, we confess that we have not loved you with our whole heart. We have failed to be an obedient church. We have not done your will. We have broken your law. We have rebelled against your love. We have not loved our neighbors, and we have not heard the cry of the needy. Forgive us, we pray. Free us for joyful obedience through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. Hear the good news. Christ died for us while we were yet sinners. That proves God's love toward us. In the name of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. Amen. We are reminded that the same night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the bread. When he had blessed it, he broke it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my body which is broken for you. Take and eat ye all of it in remembrance of me." Likewise, after supper, Jesus took the cup. When he had blessed it, he gave it to the disciples and said, "This is my blood of the new covenant poured out for you and for many for the remission of sins. Take and drink in remembrance of me." Heavenly Father, we thank you now for these gifts of bread and juice. We pray that they might be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we might be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. We pray now for your blessing, for your anointing, for your hallowing. Meet with us in this very special moment, and we'll give you the praise in Jesus' name. Amen. Would the servers please come forward? I would invite you to come to line the altar rail. You may either stand or kneel, whichever works best for you. The servers will come. They will pass the bread. You'll take, you'll eat. Then they will come and pass the cup. You'll take it and you'll drink. We'll have the prayer of dismissal. You'll return to your seat. Then the next group will come.